So before we move on to the next thing, I did want to read a message that we got from John Bernardi.
Oh, yeah.
Because I wanted to have him on the podcast, but I had to explain to him, you know, what I was saying, that I just couldn't handle having guests right now. But I was like, but if you had anything you wanted us to talk about, you know, please let me know. And of course, because he's the nicest person in the world, he was like, well, I'm going to go back and listen to your episodes and write you a thoughtful letter.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah, he's the greatest.
So I'll read that. It says, hi, Maya. Hi, Christian. I had fun listening to you for another year, even when you go as far from the map as Oz. Don't stop branching out, which I love to hear because yes. Sometimes I doubt my own choices. I love how Pride and Prejudice was the bread and Fire Walk With Me was the meat of the sandwich around your 4th year anniversary. It works symbolically well, even though I can't quite say why in words.
You know, we immediately like come to mind we couldn't, but if you give us enough time, we could definitely make those connections.
Well, we did say that Pride and Prejudice was the Twin Peaks of the Jane Austen world.
That's true.
And I guess Twin Peaks would be the Pride and Prejudice of the
Lynch universe.
Yes.
The DLCU, David Lynch Cinematic Universe. Maybe not cinematic.
Yes.
I don't know. Terminology.
Okay. Thanks for giving me a little ring. We got a phone here. It's got a little ring. In your first Fire Walk With Me episode about the Chalfont Tremon thing.
Mm.
I remember talking about that. If I had a guess, those entities take on the name of the homeowner of the location that they take temporary residence in. Well, that makes perfectly logical sense.
Yeah.
Sort of like possession, as the giant seems to do with the elderly room service waiter. Except for some reason, the grandma and child seem knowable to people they want to be seen by. Two Chalfonts. Seems complicated, but in a world where a 2x4 isn't 2x4, it makes as much sense as anything else.
That's true.
I'm coming up on my own coverage of Fire Walk With Me in Blue Rose Task Force, and I look forward to parsing through all the nuances there, especially since the Chalfont trailer is likely where Teresa was killed. Now, I've heard many theories about where... I didn't even know this was a question in the Twin Peaks universe about where Teresa was killed, and I haven't gone back and looked, but I still maintain that it seems logical that she would be killed at the hotel, considering that's the only place that Leland and her ever met, to our knowledge. But
right.
I guess it could have been a trailer. Just throw my own 2 cents in there. Okay, hold on. Oh, and also, he just finished up his Twin Peaks main series coverage, so if you're looking for a deep dive into Twin Peaks, definitely check out Blue Rose Task Force.
Definitely.
So many unconfirmable mysteries, LOL. Well, yes, just as I was saying. Anyway, now that some time has passed, how does Christian feel about the new Donna? And where do you both land on how Laura might have destiny? But how does she have free will? Take care, happy holidays, and lots of love to you, John.
Aw, thanks, John. We really appreciate you.
Yes, happy holidays and lots of love to you as well.
Yes.
I know we did talk about Donna, but do you have any new thoughts on Donna?
Well, I, of course, don't remember anything I said about her, but it would not be beyond me to say some things that are contradict myself in the actual episode, but
I'm sure we've done it many times so far. Nobody has done a deep dive into us and been like, now in this episode you said this.
Right. But I would say my current feelings about the new Donna, I enjoyed her. I thought she was really great as a substitute for
Laura Flynn Boyle.
Yes, I was like, it's not Sherilyn Finn, that's Audrey.
I was just listening to a podcast where they were talking about her being on The Practice, so she's at the forefront of my mind right now.
Perfect. I thought she was a great substitute for Laura Flynn Boyle. You know, I mean, as a person who watched Twin Peaks and we did, like, we definitely dove into the show and spent a lot of time with the characters. I kind of, you know, part of me does wish that she did come back to play Donna again, but I thought the new Donna was great. Yeah. And I feel like they did a great job without, like, making Donna, like, a huge part of the movie, so that it was, like, super noticeable. They did a great job of kind of blending her in.
Yeah. And I think what you might have said last time, if I remember correctly, was that she kind of embodies a different aspect of Laura, or of Donna, because it's pre-Laura's death, so she's still got her innocence a little bit.
Yeah. And I think visually, she does look younger, like more of a teenager than Donna we did in the Twin Peaks series. And so it does kind of, whether it's unintentional or intentional, she does symbolize this kind of loss of innocence, quote unquote, and maturing that she goes through spending more time with Laura and kind of seeing this darker side of her.
Yeah.
So I really, I thought she was great. And I didn't think it really impacted the movie too much.
Yeah, I agree. Now, also, as far as Laura, fate versus free will, I don't think we've really explored in the series if this was some sort of a fated thing for Laura.
Uh-huh.
And it does seem like she has a lot of free will in that she makes the choice to put on the ring in the end.
Uh-huh.
But I did recently see that there was a scientific article that said there is no such thing as free will. So maybe in terms of the fact that we all are kind of fated in some way, then yeah. And I think maybe in season 3, we will explore that a little more.
Yeah.
Because she becomes a little more the chosen one, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we don't need to get into that yet, but I don't know.
Yeah. There's the theory that's being used a lot, and I would say, especially like in Marvel movies and all this other stuff, like time is a flat circle where everything is sort of happening at once, and it has already happened, it's going to happen infinitely, whatever.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't necessarily love to subscribe to the idea of fate, just because I don't personally like the idea that everything is already predestined and that you don't have any choice in the matter.
So very human of you, Christian.
I know. Who would expect? But I like the idea that that Laura had free will. I like the idea that, you know, for a while Laura felt like she didn't have control over anything, and that she was kind of this wild card and her life was pure chaos and everything was sort of working against her. And I like the idea that she had free will towards the end of her life and made a choice to put on that ring and to kind of be like, all right, well, if you're going to quote unquote, like, make this my fate, if this is sort of pushing itself onto me, I'm going to take control of it and I'm going to kind of put my own spin on what's going to happen. I'm going to put myself into the equation and see if I can make it more of my own. And, you know, whether, you know, it's fate that she was supposed to do that or not, I like the idea that she has the choice. She had the choice and she made the choice. And I mean, clearly, I think it worked out in a way that kind of, you know, I mean, she did die, so I wouldn't say benefited her, but I feel like it was, quote unquote, the right choice, depending on the situation.
Yeah. It was almost as if just the circumstances surrounding her almost made her life very fatalistic, because, you know, how it's so hard to escape from such dire situations.
Right.
But because she's given this ring, which I always equated with the ability to resist Bob, you know, to create, it's almost like she chose, I'd rather move on to the next world than let you take over my life.
Right.
And that almost gives her more of a free will than maybe she would have had.
Right.
If there wasn't a ring or, you know.
Yeah.
In the end. So it's almost like, I don't know, like the, because Bob and the ring kind of seem like they're coming from the same place. So.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm trying to say exactly, but.
No, I'm totally on board with what you're saying. And it's making me kind of have this new idea of, like, maybe it's less about choice / free will and fate and more about perspective. Like, you know, if we want to say fate, like maybe she was obviously fated to be taken by Bob because she couldn't resist him in the real world. But she made the choice to act against him once she put on that ring. She was like, all right, if I have no choice in this matter, I'm going to go along with it. And then the minute that it's over, I'm making a choice to go against this force that has been going against me the whole time. And so because she, you know, she could have totally just succumbed to Bob and he would have killed her and it been whatever. But she made that active choice. She was like, all right, once he gets me, it's over for him in the long run.
Yeah. I wonder if she hadn't taken the ring, mm-hmm. if this whole ending would have ended with her being possessed. And if so, what would have happened to Leland? Would he have died?
I do get the impression that Bob, in a way, is like a parasite. And he's feeding off the evil, the life force of the person that he's taken over. And then once he's ready to move on, it's like, all right, that person doesn't have anything left. And so they die. And yeah, I think, you know, in a way, her taking the ring and choosing to go out the way she did rather than get possessed by Bob, I feel like, Eve, you know, it was a choice she made to at least have some control over the outcome. She prevented Bob from taking over her life. And I mean, you know, he reacted to it. It wasn't her reacting to him. He was reacting to her choice. And so I like to think of it in that way.
Yeah. So many things to think about when it comes to Fire Walk With Me.
And I feel so like, I'm so uneducated on the idea of like, you know, free will and time and all that stuff. And it's just like, I know I don't have the language for it, but I'm like, this is what I want to think because it makes me feel good.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard. I mean, this is kind of like how I've interpreted it all these years, but now with like a little perspective, I'm like, is this how David Lynch would have wanted us to interpret it? Who knows? You know, maybe there's something I'm just not even thinking about in the situation. But yeah, I really appreciate, John, your letter.
Definitely.
And it was very nice and very interesting conversation. Now I'm thinking maybe we should cut this little piece out and just, you know, do it as a bonus episode, one of our dark weeks, because
that's a great
idea. It doesn't seem like a very Christmassy conversation. But
I mean, I like that idea. I think that's a good one just because it's, you know, John always has a great way of making us think. He always has great questions. And I'm always like, I need to think about that for a second. And I really love questions like that. And so it just, yeah, I like the idea of posing this question also to the listeners and having them think about it and it being kind of a singular thing.
Yeah, definitely. And if you guys have any, you know, heady questions about anything we've covered that you want us to talk about, maybe we could do a whole series of these little questions as bonus episodes, you know, when we have dark weeks or something. So,
oh, yeah, I love that idea.
Please feel free to write us. We would love to hear from you.
Definitely.
So I guess if we cut this out, we might as well say goodnight.
Yeah. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.